Tonight we're going to reflect on a passage from John chapter 3. John 3, as we anticipate this update on the River Valley Fellowship, continuing to take steps towards church plant in Beaver, we are taking some time to reflect on this conversation between John the Baptist and some of his disciples. And John demonstrates here the kind of perspective that we're to have as we serve our King, the Lord Jesus. So John chapter 3, I'm going to start reading verse 22. I'll read all the way through verse 36. John 3, 22 to 36. Remember, this is God's word. God is speaking to you, not me. So listen. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing at Anon near Salim, because the water was plentiful there, and the people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification, and they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets a seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. It's the word of God which never passes away, and may our hearts and minds be open to hear what God has to say to us. Narcissism is the admiration of yourself. It's this deep yearning to be praised and admired and pursued and thanked and acknowledged and on and on. Narcissism is this frame of mind that everyone should be making a bigger deal out of me than they are. And of course, this way of thinking has been around since the fall into sin, so it's not a new thing, but with the advent of lots of technology and social media, we have lots more opportunities to feed our narcissistic tendencies. And of course, I believe that social media can be used for good, but as one article put it, social media is to narcissists what crack is to crack addicts. And scientific studies show that the more narcissistic you are, the heavier your social media use is. There is something gratifying about having lots of people like your selfie or gathering hundreds or thousands, perhaps, of followers or friends, or what kind of friend emoji you've earned on Snapchat. And all these things perpetuate the game of comparisons or appearances or who's more popular or who has it more together or who can be most raw and sharing more vulnerable inmost secrets to the whole world. So much of what we do on social media is about me and wanting to see other people acknowledge me. In that same article that I just quoted from, the author said, "Social media has taken us to uncharted territories by enabling everybody to broadcast their life and be the star of their own show." Narcissism isn't new, but we today can feed that addiction in so many different ways. Everything we do can be turned into some way, into a way of promoting ourselves, whether it's social media or how we work or how we function in our family or how we worship God or how we do ministry. It can all be done as an effort to build our own kingdom and to gain our own followers and to show the world how great I really am. Well, here at the end of John 3, we find the greatest prophet of the Old Testament era, John the Baptist. If there were anyone who could have secured their own following or started their own religion or built their own kingdom on earth, if anyone could have gone down in history as one of the greatest of all times, it could have been John the Baptist. But when he's presented in this passage with the opportunity to secure his following and to secure his kingdom, he resisted and he said, "No, I must decrease and he must increase." You can say that in a lot of different ways. It's not about me, it's all about him. I want to be slowly forgotten in him increasingly remembered. I'm closing down my Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter because he's the one you should follow. In a life that can be so easily all about me is exactly the message that we need to hear. You and I, we're not starring in our own shows. We're not building our own kingdom. We're not securing our own following. We're not gaining our own glory because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about College Hill. It's not about the Reformed Presbyterian Church. Our goal is to see the glory of Jesus and to follow him with all we have. We're going to be talking about River Valley tonight, and we all have good friends who are a part of that ministry, who are investing there. And it makes me really sad to think about my good friends not being here. But it isn't about me. We're called to have the attitude of John the Baptist. It's not about me, it's not about us, it's not about our church. It's about the glory of the King and extending his kingdom. What we're talking about tonight is not about us. So let's make sure it's all about him. He must increase, and I must decrease. There are really two parts to this passage. There's a perceived problem, and then there's a right response. A perceived problem, a right response. So what's the perceived problem here? Well, Jesus and his disciples were in the Judean countryside. People were coming to Jesus and his disciples to be baptized. A little farther north and east, John the Baptist was continuing his ministry of baptism, and at least up to this point, people were coming to him to be baptized. Well, news was spreading that Jesus was baptizing more disciples, and John's disciples came to John and said, "Rabbi, this man who was with you," they don't even dignify him with a name, "this man who was with you when you were baptizing on the other side of the Jordan, the one to whom you bore witness, look what he's doing. He's now baptizing and everyone's going to him." What's their concern? Well, their concern is that Jesus is stealing John's ministry. You're John the Baptist. You're the one who made baptism popular. That was your thing. And we should have patented it when we had the chance because this guy, Jesus, he's copying you. In fact, you're the one who baptized Jesus. You're the one who made him who he is. And now he's trying to take your thing and take your followers as well. And John, if everyone goes to him, we're not going to have a ministry anymore. These men, no doubt, had invested in ministry right alongside John. And to them, it looked like Jesus was a threat and he was going to gut their ministry and they'd have nothing left. When you've invested in something for such a long time, you can feel a lot of ownership, and understandably so. You give your blood, sweat, and tears to it, and when it seems to disappear right before your eyes or when it's threatened, that can be a very hard thing to process. You know, I feel very invested here at College Hill. Many of you feel the same way. You've invested blood, sweat, and tears in various ways, and because of that sense of ownership, it's easy to feel threatened by other churches or other ministries or other opportunities. It's easy to try to be possessive. We just planted a church, Hope Community, just 2 years ago, sort of, you know, cutting off our arms, sending it over to Hope Community, and I was hoping that we could linger here a little longer, start to feel a little settled. But as we've seen, life in ministry keeps going. And in the midst of all the chaos of life in ministry, we're now talking about another church plant. And in some ways, I was hoping we weren't going to have this conversation for a little while, but here we are. And your initial reaction might be, you know, how many times are we going to gut the church? We cut off our left arm, sent it to Hope. Now we're cutting off our right arm and sending it to Beaver. In times like this, you can ask, well, what about College Hill? What about our friends? What about our community? What about some stability? It would be nice. And those aren't necessarily bad things to think about, but they can't be the most important things. Our emphasis has to be on seeing Christ lifted up, which is how John responds. And here's his right response. John says, he must increase and I must decrease. What he's telling his disciples is, you know, you've been with me for a very long time, but you seem to have missed the whole point. You don't really understand the goal of this ministry. My greatest hope and joy is to be absolutely forgotten and Jesus remembered. I'll be happiest when Jesus is at the center of attention and I faded into the crowd and no one recognizes me anymore. And John uses this great analogy of being the best man at the wedding. He says, don't you realize I'm the friend taking care of the bride, rejoicing when he sees the groom come. I'm the best man. I'm not the groom. And now Jesus has come, so here's the groom, and my joy is to see people go to him. I'm actually trying to work myself out of a job here. You can remember back at your last wedding that you're at, when the bride and groom have taken their vows and they've kissed and they're presented to the congregation as Mr. and Mrs. The congregation, you know, they erupt in rejoicing and celebration. At that moment, you know, not one person is thinking about how great the best man is. Because it has nothing to do with him. It's all about the bride and the groom. And then as the newlyweds, they walk down the aisle and the whole congregation turns to them rejoicing in their marriage. They actually have their backs toward the best man. And it's that moment that John's talking about here. He says, that's the moment I'm working towards. That's the moment when I'm happiest. When people leave me and they're fully turned toward Jesus. When I'm forgotten and Jesus is lifted up. When I fade to the background and Jesus is at the center because it's not about me, it's all about him. That is so different from our narcissistic tendencies and our narcissistic culture and our narcissistic ministries. How often do you find in your own heart to be joyful, most joyful, when people praise you or when they follow you or when they comment on your picture or they like your posts or when they really acknowledge you and say, wow, look at what you've done. That's amazing. And then on the other hand, when someone gets more attention or seems to succeed more than I do, we grow envious and secretly the yearning of our heart is to see them fail. And when they do fail, our hearts leap, maybe quietly. Sad but true. Because our goal so often is to gain the praise of others. The church, the ministry, is not ours. It's not mine. It's God's. God's the one who gives it to us, and we're just stewards of it. And so as a result, we're not trying to build a loyalty to College Hill or a loyalty to the Reformed Presbyterian Church, but we simply want to see people follow Jesus and glorify him. And guess what? Sometimes that means leaving College Hill. But whenever anyone leaves College Hill, if they're leaving in order to follow Jesus, that's when our joy is complete. You know, I love the people worshiping at Beaver. Some of these friendships extend, you know, 15, 20 years. And I'll be sad. But they'll be leaving to follow Jesus. And as much as you can't tell right now, that makes my joy complete. It makes my joy complete. Many of you are going to be sad. Many of you have good friends that worship there, or are involved, or vested there. Many of you have family who are going to be leaving College Hill to invest. And the idea that you might not see them as regularly makes you, you know, it makes you sad. But if they're leaving in order to follow Jesus, then you can have the joy that John had. Because ultimately, it's not about your friendship or even your family or your ministry or your church. It's longing to see people follow Jesus in order to extend the kingdom and further his glory. A few years ago, we shared with you our vision for College Hill. As a session, we were working through this, and we want to think of College Hill not so much as a lake that sort of grows during the rainy season and shrinks during the dry season, but we want to think of College Hill as a section of the river, just connected to all the other river systems of the world, all the other churches, the work of God. And as God brings a flow of people into our congregation, we want to be equipping them and discipling them and encouraging them and building them up. And then we're also wanting to send them downstream to carry out the work of the church and the work of the kingdom. We want to be a church flowing with streams of living water, sending people to all parts of society and all parts of the world to follow Jesus, to lift up his name, to glorify him, to seek first his kingdom. And when we see that happening, that is our joy. River Valley is just a part of this vision, sending people on to follow Jesus and to seek first his kingdom. John the Baptist finishes up this interaction with his disciples by exalting Christ, making this comparison of how he's simply received this ministry, but Jesus is the one who owns this ministry. He says that Jesus is above all, and if you receive Jesus, then you receive God. He says that Jesus is the one who gives the Spirit of God. Jesus is the one who has the authority of God. He's reigning over all. He's the only one who can save you. And so, very simply, John's saying, compared to him, I'm a nobody. He's the one that we need, not me. So we're all to follow him. John here is rejecting this idea of being a celebrity preacher. He's not going to start johnthebaptistministries.com. He doesn't want to be a part of a celebrity church. He's just saying, don't follow me. I'm a nobody. Follow Jesus. If we ever get to the point where we're more loyal to a congregation or to a pastor or to a friendship other than Jesus, then we're in trouble, because it's all about him. So follow him. In this culture of narcissism, our age of narcissism, in the middle of competing kingdoms that are vying for more power and glory and recognition, we are called, as followers of Jesus, to be countercultural. And that means that we're to show that it's not about us, it's not about me, it's not about my followers, it's not about my kingdom, not about my glory, it's all about Jesus. And our great joy is to see when people forget us and seek to follow him. So we are going to talk in a few minutes about developing this ministry of River Valley, being a more intentional church plant. And as I said, in one sense, when that day comes, I'm going to be sad because we're going to miss our friends. It's going to, in some ways, gut our congregation of some pretty key figures. But may we have the heart attitude of John the Baptist. I'm just a friend. And when people leave me in order to follow Jesus, that's when my joy is complete. Because it's all about him. May it be so here at College Hill. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you have made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. And so as your people, we humbly bow before him. You, Lord Jesus, are above all. You have the word of God. You give the spirit of God. You have all the authority of God, and only you can save. You are the great King of kings, and this is your kingdom. And we ask you to forgive us when we seek to build our own kingdom and to seek to gain our own glory and receive the praise of man. Help us to reorient our thoughts, to bury our pride, to seek to be forgotten so that you, Lord Jesus, are remembered above all. Be with us now as we take some time to think very specifically about River Valley. We ask that throughout this whole process, the name of Jesus would be at the center of all we do. We are your servants. This is your kingdom, built all by your power, and it's all for your glory. And together we say, amen.